God, we give you thanks that your grace is sufficient for us. Amen. Good morning to all of those who remembered to change their clock correctly. Soon we'll see who did not. We have stories this morning, it seems, of transformation and honor. We are transformed so that we can bring honor to our Savior. Do not remember the former things, Isaiah tells us, or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Paul, or Saul as he was originally, did perceive it, and he brags on it. He talks about me, me, me. Let me tell you how great I am. You think you're great in the flesh? You think you're a great person? I'm greater. That's what he says. I have reason for confidence. If anybody else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Let me explain that to you. I was circumcised in the eighth day, the way a good Jewish boy is supposed to be, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews. To the law, I was a Pharisee. I knew the law. I loved the law. I served the law. And a zeal, a persecutor of the church. I loved the law so well. I persecuted the people of the way of Jesus. I have much to be proud of in that old self. And then he is transformed in a way that's far more significant than most of us will have the pleasure or worry to. In the middle of the day, knocked off his horse, made blind, led to somebody's house. Let's see how proud you are of the flesh now, Saul. Behold, I am doing a new thing, is a message to him and to us. And as he changes in that transformation, his honor continues to be in the way that he was made originally by his Creator. We are made with personalities, and we are made with gifts, and we are to use them in the way that they were given to us. And what we know about Paul is he's a writer. That's what we have of him. His words of encouragement to people all over the world. His words about his own story. And now when he talks about the man he was so proud of, he says, I count all of that as garbage. It is worthless to me. I need to be emptied out of myself. Just as Jesus spent years emptying himself out for us. Not just those last couple of hours on the cross. He emptied himself out for us. And Paul gets that. He perceives that. And he knows what is going to be good about him. The way he can honor his Lord is by letting his Lord work in and through him. And beautiful words, he says, forgetting what lies behind. I'm going to give up all that I was. And straining forward. Stretching ourselves. We need to stretch ourselves forward to what lies ahead toward the goal. And the goal is the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Can I be so bold as to hope that I can be resurrected as my Lord was? I will honor him and stretch myself in doing so toward that goal. I am encouraged by those words. The gift of a beautiful writer. He didn't leave that behind. He left himself behind. And that seems to be the struggle. Consider the words of the great prophet George Harrison. And his song, I, me, mine. All through the day, I, me, mine. That's what we seem to want to talk about. We need to leave I and me and mine behind. If we choose to be transformed, if we want to get that opportunity to serve our Maker honorably. And the time is coming soon in our gospel story, which isn't a very long story. Jesus doesn't have a great deal to say in this story. It's about others finding their way to honor him. But we know in the words just preceding our gospel reading, was what Jesus had done. The new thing is coming. He had raised Lazarus from the dead. He had been dead for 4 days, and that will get the attention of the entire world. It certainly got the attention of those people who wanted to rule the people. Because we can't let this happen. Everybody's going to flock to him and away from us and our love for the law. So what do we have to do? We have to find Jesus and we have to kill him. And we have to find Lazarus, who he supposedly raised from the dead, and he's got to go too. That's the life that Jesus was living. He says, I could no longer walk freely among the Jews. But he does find a place for dinner at the home of friends. The house of, now this story is told 4 times in our Gospels in 4 similar but different ways. Sometimes it's the home of Simon the Pharisee, sometimes the home of Simon the leper. And I wonder who Simon the leper was. Was he now somewhere off because he wasn't allowed in society as a leper, or was he now a transformed man? But it's the home of Lazarus and his sisters Mary and Martha. We know their story. Martha, Martha in the kitchen. And there they are. And each of them in this little story, we see how they, through their own creation, the thing that was just individual about them is the way they find a way to serve. Martha does so by getting the house clean and dusting it, and she's going to feed everybody. That's what Martha does. She was probably the first Italian mother. You know, you go to her house, she's going to feed you. And that's how she honors her Lord. It's a wonderful thing. And Lazarus, it says he's reclining at the table with Jesus. And I think, why? Well, supposing you were across the table from the person that had raised you from the dead, would you not just want to honor him by seeking to be in his presence? What do I have to learn from this person who saved me? Probably the single thing we leave out of our prayer life most as Western Christians is time to just be in the presence of God. Lazarus is showing us that. Just being there with his Lord. And then there's Mary. Well, in this story, it's Mary. She's not named in the other stories. What she does is written down for us to have for thousands of years. Who she was by name was not important. But what she does, she comes to honor her Lord. And in the tradition of washing the feet of the guest, she breaks out perfume. Perfume probably bought for her or someone else's, perhaps Jesus' burial. Expensive perfume. About $30,000 worth of perfume. Perfume that comes from where all the greatest things in the world come from India, from the Himalayas. This is a rare, wonderful piece of ointment. It's called nard, spikenard. A little would have done. She breaks the jar and pours it all on his feet in honoring her Savior with everything that she has, everything she had saved for, and then doesn't wipe his feet with a towel. She wipes his feet with her hair. She has made a spectacle of herself in devotion and honor to our Lord. I'm encouraged by that. All of us, in whatever way we are created, need to find that goodness in ourselves and use that to honor our Lord. When Jesus comes into our home, how would we honor him? I had a little thing happen in the last week. We were watching something on Netflix or something, and I heard a couple of my grandchildren come in, and you know when your grandchildren come in, right? You can hear them, and I thought it best to get up and turn off what we were watching because of the language. And afterwards, I was thinking, well, I don't want them to hear the language. Why is it okay for me? If Jesus had come over for dinner, would I invited him to watch whatever it was we were watching? Probably not. Am I honoring Jesus every moment in my home, in my life? Would he be a welcome guest there? Would every drawer and every closet be available to them? Can I take every moment and honor God? I can maybe if I remember, as Paul said, what I am, I need to be willing to throw out like the trash. I saw a bit of that yesterday. As you may know, we elected a new bishop yesterday, Daniel Gutierrez. Such a fine choice he is. He was my choice from the beginning. But it took 4 ballots. It was contested. It took us a while to come together. It took a while for the Holy Spirit to get us lined up. But even at the end, it was still a fairly close vote. And the person who at that moment, not now, but at that moment, was coming in second was Father Frank Allen, a good and decent man, a priest of one of the cardinal parishes in our diocese, the only person on the ballot from our diocese, from St. David's in Radnor. He came in second to Daniel. And if things just ended there, we might just have left that house still divided. And Frank would have been the guy that almost was our bishop. He might have had that story to tell forever. You know, it was nearly me. And maybe all those people on that side that were supporting Frank and really wanted him to be the bishop would have gone out still saying, boy, I wish it was Frank. But here's what Frank did. He proposed a motion to the House that we wipe out all that voting and we elect Daniel by acclamation. And so our bishop was our unanimous choice because Frank took himself and put that aside. And in that single little act, he brought us all together. We have one unanimous bishop of choice. It's a wonderful thing, truly is. Thank you, Frank, for that gift to all of us to get behind the man that the Holy Spirit has brought to us, and I know and I'm sure will serve us all well. As Frank showed me yesterday, and as Saul showed us thousands of years ago, we need to stretch ourselves out, leaving ourselves behind, towards that prize, which is the goal of having Christ Jesus living in and through our lives.